Morning.
Andy, they said they're the program director at Springdale. So if you don't know, Andy's at Springdale College, and you've been there since 2010? Is that when it kind of...
I've been involved since 2010, but I was working with Together in Mission that was behind that for about another 5 years.
Okay, right, so for a while.
About
10 years altogether.
Yeah.
And where are you from actually originally?
Oh, I originally come from north of London from a place called Watford.
Oh, from Watford. right.
Yep, it's Watford.
Nice. which modules, what courses, what classes do you teach at Springdale?
Well, I teach quite a variety. Ansi said when I arrived, somebody said, "What do you teach?" He said, "Everything." maybe that's true, no. I teach practical theology and mission theology and leadership, so that's what I teach.
Can I ask how you got called into that? How did you decide that? Did you wake up one day and say, "Oh, you know what, I'd like to teach"?
Actually, it's interesting because when I became a Christian, I had a real sense within a very short time that there were two things that God wanted me for. One was to do ministry, and the other one was to be involved in teaching and equipping others. Mm. And I was pretty unequipped at the time. So.
Wow, so that's fantastic. And now you're actually doing both. You're both ministering
and also
teaching.
Yeah, I teach and do ministry as well.
So that's fantastic. Let me pray for you, and then we'll let you get started. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Andy, and just thank you for the way you've been leading him, bringing him forward. And we pray for this morning, let your spirit just really anoint him and speak out that actually today we will be ministered to and taught by your spirit, by your truth, by your word. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ansi said to me a few weeks ago, she said, "Andy, do you preach?" And I said, "I do preach." And she said, "Oh, you could come along and preach at my church then." And so I'm here. And I thought to myself, actually, somebody likes my teaching as well. So it must do if she's invited me here. Today, I want to share some things that are really close to my heart. And I'm really glad that we started off with some of those questions. Because close to my heart, at the very centre of my heart, is I want to draw attention to Jesus. I want people to know Jesus, and I want as many people as possible to know him. So that is something that's so close, so important to my heart. And it's something that has driven me, as it were, through my life, as I've seemed to have followed this call that God has put on in my heart to passionately follow Jesus and to talk about him to others, and also to teach about him and equip new leaders, people, as many people as possible, to make disciples of others. Because we're all disciples, we're all followers of Jesus. And from that point of view, I always think to myself, as a follower of Jesus, I want to follow his lead in my life. My life's a journey. All of our lives are a journey following Jesus. So we've got the beginning up there, God's plan to unite all peoples. Something that's been a growing passion on my heart has been the thought that we live in this incredible, wonderful, multicultural society in the West, made up of many peoples, many cultures, many different experiences. And in this multicultural society that we actually live in, I keep on asking myself, Lord, what is it that you want to do through Jesus Christ in the middle of this society so that your name can be lifted high, so that your kingdom can come, and so that people can actually come to know the power of your love that unites us. Although we're diverse peoples, we've all come here today with lots of different baggage that we may have carried in. All of you have come with different experiences today. You've been on a journey this week. You've been on a journey in your lives. And that journey, that coming together even today, is representative of everything that you bring. And we bring things together as the people of God that God can do amazing things with and can do amazing things to also equip us and empower us to move forward and to be even better disciples and followers of Jesus as we're ministered to by each other and through Christ who ministers through us. So let's go to my first slide. Now, before I do that, I'll go there anyway. Abraham's people follow the voice of the God of mission. Now, I was praying this week, and I was saying, Lord, how do you want me to present this? And Ansi said, well, it'd be a good idea if you had some PowerPoint. So I thought, all right, I'll do some PowerPoint teaching. But I don't want to fall into teaching mode, so I may just forget the PowerPoint. Sorry, Ansi. But we'll see where it goes. But I might flick through a few. But at the beginning of my journey in ministry, a passage that spoke powerfully to my heart is this passage from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4. There's going to be quite a lot of scripture go up on the screen, because another thing I sense God saying to me today was, don't do your traditional PowerPoint teaching, Andy, because everyone will fall asleep. The most powerful thing that you can actually do is put my word in front of everyone, and then we can read bits of it, because I speak powerfully through my word. So I thought to myself, well, that's what I'll do then. I don't particularly like screens covered with loads of text, but this is a very important text to me. This is something that is really crucial at the centre of my heart as I seek to equip others for mission. And it's from the story of when Abraham first is called by the Lord to actually go, to leave Haran, where he is, with his father's household and everything, and to go on a journey. And it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram in this case, before he got the name Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and on those who curse you, I will cause them to be cursed. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And I love the line that follows afterwards. So Abraham went as the Lord told him. And everything begins with a call. I don't know, as you've come here today, what God is calling each of you to do. But the one thing I'm certain of, that there are times in our lives where we might have an initial call to follow Jesus for the first time, to accept him as our Saviour. We might find that there are points where we're called to move into something new or to do new things with the Lord. We might find that the call at the moment is for us to perhaps let go of some things that have been holding us back in our journey with Jesus, and to embrace and go with other things that he wants us to do for the future. There's all sorts of ways that God calls for us to respond to. The response of Abraham on this occasion was to go. It was to go. And it was also, by implication, to follow where the Lord called him to go. Another way that you could put this is to say that God sent Abraham on a journey. And this journey that he was sent on was to, in the end, find a place, a promised place, a promised home, a promised inheritance, which he himself never actually saw in his lifetime. But through him, God says, all nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham was called to bless people. And the God who sent Abraham said, as you go on your journey, in essence, go and bless people. And all nations of the earth will be blessed. And it also says in another translation, bless themselves through the God who blessed Abraham. And that's a wonderful thought. I remember when I was in my first church, and I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. it was my first church after all, and I wasn't quite sure what I should do. And so I had a strong sense that I needed to read this passage here. And I read it, and I kept on reading it for several weeks, and I kept on getting this sense of God saying, go. I'm sending you now to go and to be sensitive, to follow the signposts that I put, as it were, in your journey to find out where I want you to go and what I want you to do in this ministry. And I thought, that's not very specific of you, Lord. I thought that's rather general. But actually, I kept praying. The conviction grew in my heart. Go and I will show you. Go and I will show you. And so as I started to go with ministry from that point of view, and I think it's true for all of us, actually, for all of us in Christ, we need to be sensitive to the voice of God. We need to be sensitive to what God is doing ahead of us and around us. And as I started to, as it were, pray and tune into that sort of wavelength, I started to see things and notice things that people were going through or things that were happening in the local community around me. And sometimes I found, or the church people at the church would say, we really feel that we should be doing something with the teenagers down the local park. So let's set up a sports ministry. It was that sort of thing. And it was like signposts along the way. And the biggest lesson of ministry that we can all learn, because we are all ministers in Jesus, we all are followers which make disciples, actually. We all lead others to Christ. So in a sense, as Christians, we're all leaders. Calls us a kingdom of priests. We often talk, in at least in the Protestant tradition, of being the priesthood of all believers. And we are all people who represent Christ to the world, and people can be led to Jesus and shaped through what we do. And that conviction in my heart is at the centre of what I feel we're all sent to do. God is, I believe, using one phrase, a missionary God. God is a missionary God. Mission is on your doorstep. Mission is all around us. And part of that mission is, how can the one people of Christ, I believe, join together in different ways, partnerships, loosely held, whatever we want to do, how can we all join together, coming from different cultures, different races, different nations, so on and so forth. How can we all join together to represent the unity that comes through the love of Christ as multicultural peoples of the world? This is one of the great visions of Scripture. And this is one of the things that I feel is a strong challenge to our multicultural society today, and also to our peoples, all of us as brothers and sisters. How can we join together in God's mission to really start to find some tipping points in society where people will start to say, look, here are people who are brought together in the one name of Jesus, through the love of Jesus Christ, through joining together and doing many positive things to help society, whatever they may be, and they are making a difference. I think the world society today is looking for the kingdom of God to come. They just don't happen to know it yet. They just don't happen to know it yet. But if whenever I think of the Lord's Prayer, I think that's a kingdom prayer. And the kingdom prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're engaged in bringing Christ, the King of the kingdom, to all of the people in our society. Abraham's people are his blessed descendants. That's one of the things that the Apostle Paul has to say. Now, there is a text which I put with it, which we won't read because I'm going to move on, but it's reinforcing essentially that the Lord came to Abraham once more in his journey as he travelled along. And as Abraham travels through his journey in the book of Genesis, you find there are key points, as I mentioned to begin with, where God's call is intensified and clarified more fully as we go on our journey through our lives. And it was quite a long life that Abraham lived, and Abraham found that what God had sent him to do, to be a blessing to all the nations of the world, what a thing for one man. You're going to be the blessing, and actually you're going to have a child of miraculous promise as well. And Abraham gets quite frustrated, but we'll put that to one side for now. The important thing is that he was on a journey. We're all on a journey together. Are we listening? Are we spiritually sensitive to the voice of the missionary God who is calling us to go on a journey, but also as we go on that journey to bless all the nations? And all the nations of the world gather together in all sorts of ways, but in the West, in a wonderful multicultural society. Abraham's descendants bless all nations of the world with the gospel of the Trinity. I tend to say to my students, at least, I'm a Trinitarian theologian. I believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I believe that the Spirit of Christ is at work in his church and in the world today, and that Jesus is still active, and that we join with him in teaching and in also bringing about kingdom deeds, kingdom works that we do among people. And of course, here is the famous Matthew 28, 16 to 20, verses 16 to 20, so-called Great Commission that Jesus did. Very well known, of course. What I love about this is what it begins with. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. What an incredible thought. You know, if you look in the New Testament, like in the book of Acts, for instance, everything begins with worship of Jesus, of putting him at the centre. Everything begins with Jesus at the centre. We have to have God at the centre so that we can follow the heart of God to where he sends us. And it is the heart of God, the heartbeat of Father, Son and Holy Spirit who are at the centre of our beings. As we worship Christ, it means to actually, in the Greek, it actually means to prostrate oneself before God. It means to lay down everything before God, to let go of everything. And then for Christ to come in and he will raise up those gifts that we have so that we can actually go and share them with others through the power of the Spirit of Christ at work in our communities, in our lives. Worship is the start of everything, putting Jesus at the centre. And actually, if you look at Revelation 4 and 5, if any of you remember it, where John is transported, one of his disciples, into to see a heavenly picture. And first of all, he sees God on the throne in chapter 4. And then chapter 5, he sees a lamb that looks like it's been slain that represents Jesus. And people are falling down. They're worshipping once again before the Lord, putting him at the centre, recognising that God is everything, that he is at the centre of all that he's doing, and that we are bringing our lives completely into line with that. That they cry out, "Worthy is the Lord because of he created. Worthy is the Lamb because he was slain." And you know, the English word for worthy, worship, is really worth-ship. It's about what you put the highest worth on. What do you put the highest value on in our lives? So worth-ship is at the centre of all that is important for us as we follow the missionary God who has sent us to bring people into the community of his family. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Because Father, Son and Holy Spirit are, if you like, the picture of what it means to be an authentic family, to be real family, as they live in that love dance of openness, purpose, unity, in forgiveness, sacrifice, and all of those things, and empowerment and life-giving to creation. All of those things that are at the centre of God, the community of God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we have as the centre of our own missional communities. And I like to think that we are, as churches, part of missional communities, and that we're actually like a light that's lit up. It says, "Let your light shine." Jesus says that. He doesn't say, "Make it shine, let it shine." And we let the light of Christ shine when we put Jesus at the centre, when he is of the highest worth. He is the centre of our beings, and all other things are subject to his reign and rule in that way. Go and make disciples of all nations, and the imperative there is on make disciples. So we're all disciple makers. So as we go on that journey, how are we making other disciples? Here's a simple evaluation tool for anyone that engages in God's mission. Who are you walking alongside at the moment, helping and discipling them to either grow in their faith or to find faith? That's a simple test question that we can all ask ourselves. Who are we involved with under Jesus, under Christ, walking alongside discipling at the moment? We all have a place and a part to play. As we follow, we also lead. And as others lead, because they are growing and we need to learn from them, and they have gifts that we don't, we learn from them. We all grow together in this wonderful sort of kingdom community that we're part of. So all nations, one people in Christ. I love that. I really love that thought. Of course, it says in Galatians, that there's no more male, no more female, no more Jew, no more Greek, so on and so forth. We're all one in Christ. The challenge comes when we start to live together and we start to find it's not always easy to live with different cultural, with cultural difference, all those other things. Well, it's a lovely challenge to have. I'd encourage each of us to more and more do that, and I need that encouragement too. Now, Jesus, part of his great prayer, you know, his final prayer, which John records for us in John chapter 17, before he goes to the cross, is what he has to request of the Father. He prays to the Father in heaven for all those who will follow later on, after he has died and resurrected, after his apostles have gone. He prays for everybody else, all of us, you, me, everybody. And he says, I ask not only on behalf of these, that is his present disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. How does the world come to believe that Christ has been sent by the Father, by this great God of love? It's because they are one. Yeah? The kingdom of God brings together all of us as one people. We are one people. And the world will know and believe, or trust, that's another idea behind the word there, believe, will trust, will come to trust that God is really among us when we're one. What a wonderful thought. And that is oneness in terms of what we would call agape love, which is sacrificial love. It is gift love. God's love is sacrificial love and it is gift love. And those things are at the heart of what unites us around Christ in through his death, through his resurrection. So, forgive me for saying the Trinity's mission. You could say God's mission as well, but I believe passionately that God represents our community because we're part of the family of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The Trinity's mission is to unite all people in there into one family by the one Spirit. And the Spirit, God Father, God Son, God the Spirit, we are told in Corinthians that this one Spirit gives us all different gifts, different things that we bring, but the one Spirit unites us as the body of Christ. And, you know, it's a wonderful thought when you think that Paul, for instance, spoke of us as a body full of different functions, all those different things that our bodies do, you're needing to do those things together in one sort of way, that is in a loving way, that's the guiding principle, to do things based on love. The wonderful thing is that Christ is the head, and you could say the body of Christ is the mobile missional community of God. In other words, we're moving around, we're all mobile, so wherever we are, this mobile missional community we belong to, Father, Son and Holy Spirit's family, is we are mobile, we are there. We are actually in communities representing Christ in all sorts of ways. I remember one youth church that I used to be part of the leadership for, and they insisted after a while that the words be put over the exit, now is the time to worship, as people were leaving. Now is the time to worship. some of the older parents and things like that soon got the sort of idea that it would be good to worship at home as well. Well, there you go. That's not a dig, by the way. The Trinity's mission is to unite all people into one family by one Spirit. And it says here from Ephesians, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That is the great plan. That is the great plan of the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom, the climax of history, Christ coming again, the establishment of the kingdom of God over which no other kingdom, no other system of domination will rule, but God's kingdom will finally be fully established. But we're in the process of seeing that happen And part of that process, the great goal of history, according to Paul in Ephesians, is to unite all things in Christ and all peoples in Christ. And we're in a process of saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's for now, not just for the future. It's a wonderful thing. We're on that journey together, a journey looking for that final great climax to history. That is an incredible, an amazing thought. So the Trinity is calling its people to unite in the context of multicultural society. That's a conviction I have. I sort of have this idea that God wants one people, and that will work out in lots of different ways. But one of the privileges I had in Oxford was to lead a multicultural church, and probably Oxford's quite a good place to do it, really, because most of them were students from the university from all over the world. So I used to lead a student church in Oxford, did a lot of chaplaincy around all the colleges and everything, and got to know folks there and had lots of great discussions about God and whether he even existed or not in some cases. The wonderful thing about that was to see people from all over the place interrelating to each other, and it was just an amazing experience. How did that represent Jesus to their friends? Actually, quite a lot of their friends would come along to our services and things like that, and also other things that we ran, social events and all of that, and they were convicted that, yeah, there's something really dynamic going on here. That was a wonderful experience to have. Some thoughts that you might want to consider. I do a lot of thinking, as well as trying to do quite a lot of praying and trying to think about how I can share Christ with others. But I do quite a lot of thinking as part of my job. And I've been thinking, how is it that we can make even more impact on the world around us? Well, I've said the most important thing is that everything is based on worship and following the God who sends us and being sensitive to the God's voice, to know where each of us are being sent and where our communities, our churches are being called also to minister in the midst of this multicultural society. Well, there are a few things that I've been thinking about again recently. To begin with, we live in a divided, pluralistic society. There are many different faith or non-faith systems around, including world religions, aren't there, in our culture, pluralistically. I love at times to meet with some of my Muslim friends. We have some good time together. They actually welcome lots of discussion about Jesus. They've come to church with me and things like that. That's great. It's great to try and interrelate with as many different faiths and peoples as possible, in my view, in this multicultural, pluralistic society, including postmodern people who've given up on the idea, you know, so-called Generation Y more than anybody, those up to about 30 years old in our culture, hugely they've given up on the idea of any absolute idea of one true faith or one true way. They just think that any way will do, or the way that works best for me will do. And so it's a wonderful question to ask, how can we relate to people like that? And then there's Generation Z, who apparently are just going to be living computers or something. Their apps and everything will be stuck all over their bodies, and you know, you'll just see a massive app or apps walking around in the future, and there won't be any communication except in cyberspace. No, I can't believe that's going to happen. As Christians, we're all brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God now, in the midst of this pluralistic society. Multicultural pluralistic society is waiting for us, I believe, to prophetically, to join together cross-culturally as Christians to demonstrate that we are one people joined by the love of Christ. I think that society is waiting for a new way to see that Christianity is a plausible faith, because it can really do amazing things that our society struggles to achieve. We hear on the news continuously about radicalisation of young people. We hear of many of the troubles and the stresses that keep on happening in our world, in our society. What about more good news stories about what it means when we join together and we bring the kingdom of God through that joining together. Multicultural Christian communities and churches will or can become a prophetic parable. You know, prophecy isn't just about somebody standing up and giving a prophetic word. Prophecy, if you like, was what Jesus' parables were about. Jesus was a prophet. His parables, his kingdom parables, were actually prophetic story descriptions of what it looks like or what happens when the kingdom of God is coming. And our communities are like a living story, a living parable to people around. What we do together, how we live our lives, they're stories. They're prophetic. They're actually raising up a voice, and that voice, when Christ is at the centre of all that we do, is the voice of Christ. And that is prophetic. The Spirit works through that. And we need to be sensitive to how the Spirit is at work ahead of us, by the way, as well, in community. Because, you know, the Spirit goes out and prepares people so that they can come to know Jesus. So sometimes we have to be really, have our senses, our spiritual antennae tuned in to say, hey, that really looks like there's some Holy Spirit work going on in that person, and they're starting to get interested in my life and the ways that I handle my life and how I handle the tough situations and things like that. And they've gone through some similar tough situations too. And they start to see and discern the Spirit's work ahead of us. So that's really important to go on this journey, as it were, in God's mission. This won't be easy. No. I've been a Christian for about 34 years, and I've been in ministry and teaching for about 28 in different ways. And I can say it hasn't altogether been easy. and it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. God didn't call us to find things that are easy, but he wants us to join in genuine friendships and relationships with others. He wants us to be authentic about our faith with others. If we're authentically following Christ, then Christ will be at the centre, but his passion and his heart for the lost will be at the centre as well. And that is what enlivens our hearts and our spirits. We do need to start to think, how can we plant more multicultural churches? We can't just make magic them up, of course. We can't force God to make that happen. But I do think that we need to start to think, how can we join together more in more multicultural types of gatherings and events together, or communities? They don't have to be big church events. They can be small house group communities, cell group, could be worship celebration events together, whatever. But I think in a city like Birmingham, for instance, you know, there are so many people from different cultural persuasions and backgrounds here. How can we start being God's multicultural people among them? How can we raise that kingdom unity picture up, as it were, as a light for all to see? People will come to know what the Trinity is like, or what God is like, if we live out the values of love and welcome, which in essence unite Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Christ on the cross forgives. It's a sacrificial love, but then it's a welcoming love. It welcomes us. It welcomes us and says, everything is now forgiven through Jesus. Everything is now yours through Jesus. Nothing can now be against you because Christ is for you. It's a great big welcome. And it's an incredibly exciting welcome as well. You know, I love some of the parables, like when Jesus said, whenever one person accepts Jesus, there's a big party in heaven. What a thought. God's welcome is pretty tremendous, in other words. And it's something that our communities can do as well, welcoming others, making others feel. And I love the welcome I had here today, so thank you so much. And I'm a believer, so that's even better. But it'd be great as we start to think, you know, what do we do when we start to see different people coming in? What do we do when drug addicts and winos and other people like that come into our churches? That's where the problems start, isn't it? I know one multicultural church in Birmingham where they get a lot of that happening, and it's a challenge for them. It is a real challenge. I heard one story, actually, that there was one guy that was so poor, he couldn't give an offering. He'd been going to the church for a while, so they put the offering plate down in front of the platform on this occasion, and he went and stood in it, because that, he said, that's the only thing I can give all of myself. What a thought, eh? and that was somebody that really was just on the verge of coming to know Jesus, and that was his way of showing commitment. So there we have it. The climax of history, one people living together with one God. And, of course, this is what from Revelation. I always love this passage from Revelation chapter 7. It is such a wonderful passage. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Robed in white with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, singing, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And I say, Amen.